Welcome to The Nature of Florida, the Sunshine State's only podcast dedicated to its wild and natural places and the fight to preserve them. I'm your host, Oscar Corral, a two-time Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and journalist. I've dedicated much of my career to making films about environmental issues. Tune in each week to hear from a broad range of voices, from scientists to surfers, activists to mermaids, who are working on the front lines to save what's left of Florida's natural beauty and its wildlife. Welcome to another episode of the Nature of Florida podcast. My name is Oscar Corral. I'm your host. And with me here today is a very special guest who is today in human form. She has left her tail behind to join us in her human form outside of the water. I welcome Mermaid Michi, a professional mermaid and also a well-known activist for Florida waters, particularly the springs up in North Florida. And she's here today to talk everything about springs and Florida waters. And I want to give her a nice warm welcome. Welcome, Michi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So first I want to ask you, can you confirm that you are in your human form right now and you're not a mermaid?
Yes, I can confirm. Let me show you these guys.
It seems to me, following you on Instagram and social media and also knowing you for a couple of years now, that you almost, it's almost like if you feel most natural when you're in the water. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I've always been a water baby ever since I was little. I grew up around water. I grew up around the ocean, swimming before I could walk right, all sorts of, things related to water. I was in the swim team in Mexico. And then, you know, when I came into mermaiding, it was like a fish in the water. I was already a fish in the water. And then I didn't know how putting on a tail could literally make me a fish in the water. And yes, it really is where I feel the most alive. It is where nothing else matters in the world at that moment in time that I am in the water, whether I'm in my tail, whether I'm not in my tail, like it doesn't matter. If I am in a Florida spring, nothing else matters.
Why is that? What is it about the springs?
So water is what sustains life on this planet. If there was no water, there would be this would not happen. There would be no, like, water is literally the driving force of everything that exists. This water in the springs is coming out of the aquifer. And a lot of people don't know a lot about the aquifer, but it is literally water coming up from the ground to feed everything around it. Florida thrives, and it is what it is because of the Florida springs. Florida springs and our aquifer are connected to not just the rivers, but the lakes, the Everglades, the ocean. It is all connected. All of the water all over the world is all connected. And if we're not taking care of it, it's bad. And for me, those places are sacred. I mean, for hundreds of years, settlers before us, you know, before there was any technology or anything like that, they settled around these springs. These springs have history of life that has evolved because of them. And I feel very blessed to have the ability to swim in them and to be in that water that sustains life, like, you know, magical, majestic water. I can't even describe the feeling that I feel when I am in those springs. And it's degrading. It is degrading. It is threatened. I've seen the degradation in less than 5-6 years of my activism. And it's hard when I hear people that have grown up going to these springs and their stories. Like, I think they're beautiful. People that look at some of my videos are like, whoa. But if they actually knew what was going on in that picture, if they actually knew what that algae meant, the fact that there's no, you know, plant life, the fact that there's no fish, the fact that there's, they just see this clear water and they're like, where is that? That's beautiful. And it is, but they don't know that there's a sad reality to that. Right. And it's for so many reasons.
I follow a bunch of different social media accounts related to the springs. And a lot of them are focused on showing how beautiful the springs are and the clear water and the natural flora and fauna. And that's great. I love that. That's why I follow them. But your pages, you know, you take it to the next level. You don't just talk about the beauty of these places. You've also done public service announcements. You've done activism. In other words, you're telling people not just that these springs are beautiful, but that they're vulnerable and that they're in danger of possibly disappearing. Why go that extra level instead of just documenting how beautiful they are? Why decide to sound the alarm?
Well, just like I stated, you know, they are beautiful. They're beautiful bodies of water. I mean, I still, even in their degradation, I find them majestic. I find like I regenerate every time I touch and swim and am in that water. And so that, like I said a little bit ago, is the driving force of Florida. If there is no water in Florida, how is the public in Florida, hundreds of thousands of people, supposed to survive? Yeah. Right? When a lot of the things with overpumping our aquifer is people don't realize that the Floridian aquifer is one of the biggest and one of the most freshwater producing aquifers in the world. Yet Florida is expected to have water shortages by 2050, and it's already happening. Not only are we having water shortages, we're having massive, massive water pollution in our water. So not only is the shortage now happening, but our pollution is happening. And if we don't do something now, and if I just talk about the beauty of it and not actually show people what's going on and how they can help, I'm just another pretty Instagram. I'm just another pretty aesthetic Instagram. You know, I don't want that. I want to use my platform as a mermaid to raise the awareness that I know that I can with that mermaid platform. Now that I've been so involved in it, I couldn't see myself using my mermaid platform for anything else. I mean, it's gotta be.
For viewers who are tuning in just with audio, I want to let them know that this is a video Zoom call, and Michi is joining us on video. And behind her, there are scenes of photographs of mermaids in the water. And I can't tell if those are you or if those are other people.
My friends.
But tell me about that. I mean, it seems like the mermaid culture in Florida started in Wiki-Wachi, if I'm not mistaken. But tell me how it has spread to the people.
So just like any other kind of, you know, I guess you could say cosplay or hobby, this notion of mermaids has always been a thing, right? Mermaids for as long as before I was born has been a magical creature that everyone, it doesn't matter who you are intrigued by. Everyone in this world is for some reason just drawn to this mermaid, like mer people, merfolk scenario. And when I got involved, I didn't even know that there was a community of mermaids. One of my friends gave me a tail because he knew that I loved mermaids. I put it on 2 years wearing a tail. And then I realized there was a whole mermaid community. Just like there's the cosplay community, right? The Star Wars people and it was mer people, mer folk all over the world, everywhere. And it's, for me, I feel like a fish in the water. So it was just a match made in heaven.
And again, what is a merfolk or mermaid culture? You talked about getting a tail. Is it like the equivalent of having fins on your feet, but like a joined fin that makes it one single dorsal fin? Or tell me about that. What is it? What is the costume? What is the mermaid? When you transform into a mermaid, what goes into it?
There's a lot that goes into it. I wish I could show you one of my tails. I mean, she's got a lot of tails here, but there is ones that are just the monofin. So that your legs are not bound together and you can swim with the dolphin kick, which is the kind of technique that we have to use to swim in tails. And then then you can take it a step further and put on skin. So the skin goes over the monofin and over your legs all the way up to here. So now you look like a fish. But there's fabric ones and then there's full silicone ones. So there's all sorts of different kinds of tails and prices and uses for tails. It's just a whole situation.
So who, where do you get these tails? Like who, what manufacturer makes them? Like who, tell me about these tails. Like it doesn't seem like something you could just pick up off the shelf in Walmart.
No. So mermaiding is the mermaid culture, the mermaid community is starting to grow more and more. I'm sure most people know that like mermaids are back, you know, after a long time, Ariel like just appeared again and yay. And so mermaids are a thing right now. And it's a brand new industry in a sense that it is very new and it's a very new niche industry, but now there's more mermaids that are not just dressing up, looking pretty, taking pictures, feeling like mermaids. Now there's professional mermaids, mermaids that have turned this hobby of ours into a business, into a career, into a activist platform. You know, different things that we can do with this mersona of ours, because that's what it is. When we are human, we're human. And then when we turn into our mer people or merfolk, that's my mersona. So for me, the it's mersona, Guardian of the Springs. That. Yeah. Oh, the mer jokes get better. But yeah. So there's just, it's an up and coming industry and there's a lot of new tail makers all the time. It's a growing thing. You can get them from several tail makers, but they're expensive if you want a good tail for certain situations. So if you're just gonna swim and be a little kid, you probably want to start with $100 tail. But if you're gonna do this professionally, high-end events, you know, things like that, you're gonna want a silicone tail. And I can show you some tails if you want, of kind of what I mean, but it's a whole thing that we would spend probably too long speaking about if I try to explain.
Well, no, absolutely. This is the whole point of this. This is such an interesting conversation. Okay, so going back to the tails and dressing up. You mentioned that there's room now. It's not just a hobby. Now some people consider this a profession. And in the documentary yes. that I'm releasing, called The Fellowship of the Springs, which is about Florida Springs. It's a 2-part series. I should say Michi is in the documentary. That's how we met. And she plays a big role in the film. She's a young activist who we met coincidentally filming in Alexander Springs in Ocala National Forest a couple years ago. A complete coincidence. We were in the water filming and here comes this big group of mermaids and Michi's among them. And she's the one who gave us an interview. And since then we've interviewed her several more times and kind of followed her trajectory as she evolved from a mermaid into a full-blown activist who is out there trying to help save the springs. So my question is, what is a professional mermaid? How do you make a living doing that? Is there a way to make a living doing that? And you described yourself in the documentary as a professional mermaid. What does that mean?
So kind of what I was going back to before, when the mermaid culture first started, it was a hobby. It was somebody that people would love to get beautiful pictures in, put a tail on, get, you know, beautiful. And then it started emerging into a business. So there's a difference between a professional mermaid and just a mermaid. A mermaid is one that is doing this as a hobby, loves to take the photos, you know, loves to attend events. And the professional mermaid is when you are getting paid for this, when you have turned this hobby of yours into a business. And there's so many different ways that a merfolk can do that. You can do events. So those are the things that I started doing. I started doing kids' parties, corporate events, you know, concerts, swimming in different places, festivals, like charities. I'm currently doing a lot of different things for women's shelters where, you know, the women go and have their kids there and a mermaid shows up. And obviously that's very event oriented. So that is a way that people can do that. People can work in aquariums. People can work in, or merfolk can work in wiki-watchy. There's just all sorts of avenues because this is such a new industry that we are creating those jobs for ourselves.
I've been to events and attended events where you have mermaids and mermen in tanks, in actual water tanks on display. Do you do that or is it mostly out of the water professional appearances?
So I've done some tank stuff. I wouldn't say that. It's not for everyone, right? So you have to be completely comfortable in water, especially performing for a crowd. So if you're, it's kind of like an act. So not only do you have to act and look beautiful, but you're doing it underwater for people who are watching that really want to know that this is a mermaid thing. So in tanks, I do events where I'm in a pool. So for New Year's this year, we did an event, me and another mermaid did an event at a kind of hotel beach thing. And they put a pool, there was a pool, and they put a plexiglass over the part of the pool. And people could walk over and see the mermaid swimming under the plexiglass. And then we were also in the pool. Awesome. So it just depends on what the client wants and, you know, what we can tell them that they want. So most of the time is us trying to tell them why they need a mermaid at their event, right? Because it's kind of hard to explain, like, well, why do we need a mermaid? Well, you have a pool and a mermaid, you know, it's still a thing. But those are just the different kinds of ways. Now, for me, I've not only turned that into my business and have right now the girl's house that I'm staying at, she's my business partner. We have a business together here in Ocala called Mermaids of the Springs. So it's just there. We're starting this mermaid community all over. And I've taken mine a little bit of a step further and added activists to that role, because in my opinion, we are mermaids of the water. That is like, it is in the word mermaid. And who better than a mermaid? Who better than half human, half fish, who can speak to humans, who has, for whatever reason, a magical connection to every human that mermaid touches.
How do kids react to the mermaid, to the mermaid appearances, and adults? I mean, what kind of reactions do you get from people when you show up at these different events, you know, as a mermaid and with a tail and swimming in water or even out of the water? What kind of reaction do you get?
I would say about 90% of people from as young as, you know, 2-1 years old, all the way up until I think the oldest lady was like 89.
Wow.
Are in awe, can't get over the fact that there's a mermaid. It doesn't matter in what setting it is, whether they're looking at her underwater, they're looking at her, you know, with their grandkids. It is amazing to me when people tell me, what do you love about this? Like, why do you do these kinds of events, the kids events? And it's because not only do I get to see and make a kid's dream come true, but then looking back at their parent smiling from ear to ear, you're making not only that child's, you know, life, but then the parent is also like, oh my gosh, like my little girl, my little boy.
You mentioned little boys. You bring up a good point. This is not just mermaids and women. I've also filmed men in the water with mermen tails, and so it's not just for women. This is something that is, you know, for anybody who's interested in living out that fantasy of being, you know, a creature in the water.
Pretty much, yes. And that's why I try to say merfolk, is because merfolk. this is for everyone. Yes, the word mermaid is more widely known and talked about than merman or merfolk, but we are a pod. We're a pod of merfolk. There's mermaids, there's mermen, there's tritons, there's, like, you know, mernicorns. There's just all types of merfolk. And it's very inclusive. I've learned that. I absolutely love it. There's no shape, there's no size, there's no age, there's no nothing when you want to be a merfolk. You just are. and I love it. I embrace it.
I remember that first encounter we had in Alexander Springs. This was back in 2019, I think. And we showed up to film the beauty of the spring. And all of a sudden I see all these people. I didn't even know that mermaid or merfolk culture existed. These clubs, right. I had no idea. All of a sudden I see you and other friends, you know, changing into these tails and kind of going into the water and putting tails on. And I'm underwater and I see people swimming. It's mermaids and mermen all around me. I'm like, what have I stumbled into? What is this? I got to film this. And that's, you know, that's kind of what led to you being in the film. That's how we kind of connected. And that was kind of a twist of fate, I think. Because activism is it's a matter of getting attention, and it's a matter of calling attention to an issue. And I think that the merfolk platform is powerful because it triggers people's imagination
And it reminds them that they're, you know, they come from water and that there's a deep connection to, and plus the, you know, the whole fantasy of a mermaid and merman is amazing. It's so, so vivid. I remember, you know, I have two daughters and I remember them watching The Little Mermaid and kind of wanting a mermaid costume. And, but, you know, but as you grow older, you realize that it's, you know, it's not just a Disney cartoon. It's a, it's actually a connection to water that people have.
We are water.
What's that?
We're water. We are water. Like we are literally made up of water. We could go, I think it's almost been like months without eating, but we cannot, we will die in 3 to 4 days if we don't have water.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Even I'm from South Florida, I'm from Miami, and I can't tell you how many people I know down here that have never been to a spring, that have, you know, some haven't even heard of springs. They don't even know they exist. But I think, tell me about that feeling when you first jumped into a spring. I think I remember reading or you telling us that you first went to a spring at Ginny Springs. Tell me about that feeling of going into a spring for the first time and what it triggers.
So for me, I've always, as a water lover and, you know, I've always seen videos and photos of this beautiful, pristine, clear water. But in my lifetime, at that moment in time, I hadn't actually seen it in person. Now, I lived in Miami. I grew up in Miami. I lived in Miami most of my life. And it wasn't until about the age of, I think, 18 or 19 that I moved out of South Florida. And I did not know, just like I would say more than half of the people in Florida, that there were fresh water springs in Florida. That Florida is one of the states that has the most, one of the places in the world that has the most concentration of springs.
Correct.
In the entire world. The largest, and people don't know that.
It has Florida has the largest springs and the highest concentration of freshwater springs on Earth. They're as unique as the geysers of Yellowstone. And for people who don't know what a spring is, they're these beautiful, clear waters that flow from the earth. It's just like the aquifer. The aquifer just pumps water out into the surface. And this clear water flows. And it sometimes forms a stream or a river, and it's always about the same temperature, 72 degrees, which sounds warm, but if you're in the hot Florida summer, it's actually extremely refreshing and cool, and it's just they're amazing places.
We cannot survive without that water. That water is sacred. The fact that I am blessed enough to know about them and to get to immerse myself in the water that sustains life on this planet, to me is just, it is like a rebirth. I can't even describe it. And we unfortunately are losing that.
Tell me about the threat to the springs. What is your activism about? What are you fighting?
We're fighting humans. We're fighting the footprint that unfortunately humans, that we are allowing. We're allowing this to happen and we are directly causing it. Indirectly, indirectly, people don't know. Then it's not ignorance. People don't know what they don't know. And if they don't know that, you know, freshwater springs exist, they're not going to know that they're in danger, that there's stuff that we have to act now in order to have this water. Like they're not going to know that. And so for me, it started as, let me show how beautiful these springs are. And then it was like, all right, people don't even know that these exist in Florida. I need to get this ball rolling. And there's so many other people in Florida that I have come across that I'm trying to make connections as well with that notice that all of the water in Florida is degrading and degrading and degrading. I mean, we're fighting a battle in the Indian River Lagoon. More than 400 manatees have died this year from January to now. That's almost the same amount that died in all of 2020. Wow. Have died in 2 months because of the loss of seagrass. So people don't know. People don't know what they don't know. And the only way to get this information out there is to be loud, to be loud and to put it out there. And what better way to do that than underwater as a mermaid?
Tell me about your handles. How do people follow you on Instagram? Tell me about your social media. How can people follow you?
So right now, I'm mostly on Instagram and TikTok, and my handle is Guardian of the Springs.
Guardian of the Springs.
Guardian of the Springs.
Great.
I have obviously several mermaids that I also love and I am involved with. My business with my business partner, it is Mermaids of the Springs. And we're working on other things. I want to open up a nonprofit that involves, you know, caring for the springs and showing them in this way. I want mermaids involved. This weekend on Sunday, we are doing a march to save these manatees. Right now in Florida, it is illegal to feed a manatee. And the reason why they're dying in this Indian River Lagoon is because there is no seagrass for them to eat. They have, because of the pollution that humans have created, that Indian River Lagoon where manatees come during the winter has lost a little over 20,000 acres of seagrass. So manatees are starving. They're emaciated. They're starving. They're cold because it's been the winter and we're finding too many dead. So on Sunday, we're going to do a march and we're going to be loud. And there's going to be mermaids there. I got a bunch of mermaids that are going to show up and we're going to show up. And there's like, we just have to care about this. And the thing is, it's contagious. When you put a mermaid, a magical being doing like caring for the world in the way that most of us activists are doing, it's contagious. It's contagious to see the happiness. It's contagious to see, like, it just draws you in. I haven't seen anybody that I know that it hasn't drawn in. Some people take longer than others. But once people realize what truly this means to us, what this water means to Florida, they get it. Because once you get them to realize that just like you, just like me, we're all water and we need this water, you want to protect that, right?
Well, so, I remember there's a great line in our documentary, and it's in our trailer, in fact, that said, it's you, and you say, the mermaids are not going to go down without a fight. And so I guess a lesson to be drawn is don't mess with the mermaids.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I will say this, mermaids have their nice side, but we are also sirens. And right now, mermaids are being very loving towards our springs and towards our oceans. But there are some of us that don't care if we're fighting a billion-dollar company. Come at this mermaid, because I am not giving up without a fight. I'm not scared. Nobody scares me in this world. Nobody. There's no big corporation. There's no nothing that I don't believe that is as merfolk and as humans, we have the power. We just need to unite. And I know that that's my purpose. I came here to this world to help save and guard these springs and the waters of the planet, because it's all connected. And people are starting to rally behind the mermaids, and mermaids are starting to rally behind the mermaids. You know, there's mermaids that are just doing this for a hobby and are starting to realize, like, holy moly, if I want to do this and continue to do this as a hobby, and if I want to take these photos, and, you know, so it's just a ripple effect. It's a ripple effect. And I really do think that we are going to come out winning in this situation.
That's a great note to end on, a note of optimism, a note of hope. If you haven't gone out to a Florida spring, get out there, try to make it past the gravitational pull of Disney World in Central Florida and head just a little further north and you'll hit the springs. They're amazing places that are truly addictive. If you go to a spring once, I mean, you're a lifelong fan. It's amazing. And be aware of what's happening too. Follow Michi on Instagram, on TikTok, Mermaid Michi, Michelle Colson. And I want to thank you, Michi, for joining me today and talking to me about the mer culture and for all you do for the springs. So look out for our documentary. You'll be in it coming up in the next few months. And I hope that we have many more future conversations.
Yes, I'm very excited. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for doing what you're doing to raise awareness about our springs and our beautiful water. And this is definitely not the last time that we're gonna talk. So definitely. I look forward to continuing our water warrior work.
This episode of the Nature of Florida podcast was brought to you in part by the Fellburn Foundation, the Fish and Wildlife Foundation of Florida, and Explica Media. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to subscribe on our website, The Nature of Florida with Oscar Corral.buzzsprout.com. That's The Nature of Florida with Oscar Corral.buzzsprout.com. Or find us on your favorite platform and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.